Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, and let's continue with the presentations. The next presentation is on transition DRM30 in medium wave, and the presenter is Mr. Matthias Stahl of Thomson. He is an electrical engineer, has a diploma in electrical engineering, and has a master's degree in advanced studies in microelectronics. He has worked in the control section of the high power tube transmitter family. That's how he started the work. Then after that, he did software development and also was involved in installation and support on several international broadcast stations. He participated in the development of solid state medium wave transmitter family and implementation of the DRM systems. He is the head of the medium wave transmitter development group and product manager for the full solid state transmitter line in Thomson. Matthias?
So thank you very much. I'll start with the other one. So after the break, we have been talking now the complete day about DRM, and as you saw from the introduction, I'm since 10 or 12 years also working on this business part, and for me it was very surprising from the beginning when I saw why DRM and why not DRM, and for me the best example is why. When I heard this from the beginning of these tests, when you listen to the example, what is comparable from a standard AM transmission, and then you change to the DRM sound. Again, the wrong button, okay. But at this time, it was for me clear, that's the question, why to change. And the material, all the industry and the technic did all necessary things to transform existing installations and broadcast families with this audience to this type of sound. So that's the clear answer why DRM is necessary for the broadcasters. Another example... with the AM. And that's the reason for me why to go on working with this. And why it is necessary and it's useful in my mind to change and to transit from AM broadcasting to digital. We have medium wave installations all over the world. We have audience on this area. We have coverage in this area. And a traditional setup can be modified to reach this aim by mixing up all these things we have heard this morning. So there is not anymore only the audio program which is transmitted. There are additional things inserted which are necessary or which are useful for the broadcaster and which are helpful for the listener. And all these things are tested and available to go on. So the medium wave for DRM can be used with old traditional transmitters, which can be linearized and work in this lower and with a lower efficiency. We can make new installation. We can make also single frequency network with small setups. So to give this system a new chance and to broadcast in this quality, and to compare with the other existing installation and broadcasting systems. So the transmission or the transition, which is the aim of this presentation, say, leave the transmitter and the antenna like it is, or check if it is possible to use it like it is, and just add all the things around at the front, and on the receiver side. One question was also, I have an existing installation and I like to make simulcast. This means I'd like to make my traditional analog, and I'd like to speed or introduce DRM with this simulcast mode. And here on the left side, we see a small picture, which is how it is look like in the spectrum. So this means we have here a digital signal part, and we have our remaining or existing AM broadcast there, independent on the left side or on the right side of the spectrum. What we have to take into account on such a picture is in the simulcast mode, the output amplitude of the transmitter has to be divided for the amplitude of the digital signal and the amplitude of the analog, so not to have interference in this way. And this means that we have a small reduction of the AM power, but we have a small signal already in the digital side for introducing such a service. Or another possibility is to use not a single channel, 9 kilohertz. We can use also an 18 kilohertz full channel. This means we have a DRM system which has more carrier, which can transport more information. And which information we introduce in these things? It's up to the broadcaster. The transition or the transmission for medium wave can be for local coverage. And for the short wave, where this system is also possible to use, can be used also with the multi-hub conditions. So ground wave coverage, sky wave coverage, atmospheric noise, all these things has been taken into account during the development of the standard. Another thing of coverage when we compare with other systems is medium wave or long wave, medium wave, short wave is the physic and the coverage. So with here an example of a 100, you will see 100 kilowatt transmitter at 1.5 megahertz located at the site of Munich, I can completely cover this area with more than 60 dB microvolt. So this is more than Munich, that's all Bavaria. Changing to 1 megahertz, as we saw this morning also, going to lower frequency increases my coverage area for this broadcasting with this system. Here we have 1 megahertz with the same transmitter. Or here, even at 500 kilohertz transmission. So that's also an idea behind how can I cover a complete region. So that's nearly Germany with one transmitter. And I'm expecting that there are worldwide transmitting stations available. You could use them to make a complete coverage with DRM signal and DRM features inside. One other aspect is the energy, which will be taken into account later. Another thing is all this content which I can provide and introduce in such a transmission. But what I like not to show it here on this data, I'd like it on this, for example, on this UniWave receiver, when we say a rich media receiver, then we see really a program guide like it could look, and we see it also outside working. We can have this Schoenlein service displayed. And now we understand why such a receiver has a display and not anymore only two loudspeakers and a small LCD display for selecting the station. We can have all these features with the memory cards to record or to replay or to display messages, sound, and pictures which I can take with me or which I can receive over the program with this system part. And what is new and we are working on is now also something like, it's not a video, but it's an application with moving picture, which could look like, one moment. So, and this is the latest things we try to introduce also inside the DRM system. Not only anymore radio with single pictures, also here with something like moving pictures with 8 frames per second and also with the audio sound beside. And it's possible to do something like this with a 20 kilohertz DRM system. So we see the power which is inside and can be used. So it's now, let's say, once the technical side is ready, is done. So the change in program has to be done from, let's say, broadcast side. And to make a little bit, a competition between the broadcasters to speed it up, this development. Because to seeing somebody is using something and the other one could also take on it, may bring also this idea in front to have more success with this one. So, this was just a small overview, and I would say thank you, and pass this to Jochen for the energy and the analyst.
Thank you, Matthias, and I really liked the last one, where you showed us the video clip, which to me appears to be quite good, considering the circumstances that you are using a 20 kilohertz bandwidth and low bitrate. And I personally believe, and I have believed for so many years, that this is the way to go in DRM and other digital technologies. And till we take that step, our listeners and viewers will not take us seriously in digital technologies. So I think that's a good lesson that we had to take. Any questions to Matthias? At the back. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Among those slides, there was one where you had two spectra side by side. One showed a full bandwidth digital signal. You were going to find it, aren't you? That one. Looking at the one on my left, has that actually been tried with a commercially available receiver? Because it seems to me that the adjacent channel digital signal compared with the sidebands in the analog is enormous. And most commercially available receivers are fairly sort of pedestrian on their IF cutoff. So wouldn't that, an arrangement like that, cause quite a lot of noise for a conventional analog receiver?
That's the setup, which is mentioned as standard for this simulcast with 16 dB DRM power below the AM band. When 16... When you have a look on the graphic, this is more than 16 dB, but it's the sum of this power is 16 dB below the analog carrier. And that was this what we saw on Paolo's slide when he said they made several tests. So with a very old-fashioned one, even with 16 dB, it was you can hear something inside, but this is also comparable to noise like you pick up on normal transmission.
Can I add something to that from the New Delhi tests? What we did that we had a few standard receivers and a few receivers from the market, and we had a set of trained listeners who were the employees of All India Radio to go along with us in vans and subjectively listen. And we tried various combinations of the power levels. We started with 16. And then we came down to 14, and that's the recommended level we found, that the 14 dB down is the best level that you can use. Then we went down to 13 dB and actually took a trial, went over the streets of New Delhi. And some of the better receivers, which have lesser bandwidth, the modern receivers are okay, but some of the older ones which have wider bandwidth, they get the white noise. So yes, it is a constraint. And we found that in New Delhi, with its environment, 14 dB is the optimum value. So it's 2 dB better than 16 dB down. And that's the experience we have. What you need to also keep in view is that the ITU is asking or will ask shortly the manufacturers to look into providing 18 kilohertz bandwidth for IF bandwidth for receivers in region 3. That's something which we have asked to take advantage of the full bandwidth that we have available there. Now, that will simply aggregate the problem. So you will have to look at it again as to what happens to this 13 or 14 or 15 dB when there's an 18 kilohertz bandwidth. I am told that the the best bandwidth available right now in European receivers is 4.5 kilohertz or 4 kilohertz. So they don't look at all the invert noise at all. The other question associated with this is, when this happens, where is the center frequency of your emission, of the analog emission? So that's another question, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question, please? Right, thanks, Matthias, and thank you very much. Thomson has been a pioneer in testing, at least with the ABU, so we have a lot of information which we have generated together with Thomson on their servers, content servers, and of course all the transmitters. The last presentation, of course, but not the least, is by Mr. Johan Huber, Transradio, Chairman of DRM Executive Board, and he speaks on DRM 30 and DRM Digital Power Enhancement. And I would briefly introduce him here formally. He is the CEO of Transradio's Zender System Berlin, AG Berlin. And he has a degree obtained as a certified engineer. He started his career as an engineer R&D for radio sets and hi-fi equipment at Stern Radio Berlin. And then he has progressed through the industry. And currently, of course, as I said, he is the CEO of Transradio. He is going to tell us about the DRM in MF and, very interestingly, in LF band. Coverage, technical requirements, SFN, reception distances. I believe that this is a very interesting topic, the LF one. The region one, which includes Europe, has allocation, frequency allocation for broadcasting in the LF band, but Region 3 does not have that allocation. So what we are trying to do at the ABU is to try to encourage our members and regulators to look at the possible allocation to LF, because that's a technology which is very well suited to large area coverage of radio, especially the digital radio. I'm sure Mr. Huber will also tell you about the Mongolia situation, where Mongolia is a country which is located in Asia, but is part of Region 1. And they are using LF extensively for coverage of that large, that's a very large country. I happened to be there a couple of months ago, and I found that there are 5 transmitters providing coverage of the entire country, which is remarkable, just 5 transmitters. Of course, LF has problems about high power requirement, and equipment is very huge in size, but DRM could resolve those problems of power and, of course, size of the equipment. Mr. Huber and his company is very well aware of the Mongolian operation, and they have visited that place several times, and I hope he can tell us something about that as well. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Sharat. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for remaining here until the end of this session. I have the role now to give you the last presentation. I will make it quite short. As first, I have to tell you that the announcement in this schedule is by an accident is wrong. There is written DRM 30 and DRM Digital Power Enhancement. On the Digital Power Enhancement, you have to wait until the NAB there. I will give you a speech about this, and this was mixed up here by our ladies. The real title of my presentation is 1 megawatt transmitters for everyone. No, it's a joke. It's DRM on MF and LF coverage and so on. As the time is going fast, I will make it quite short, and I will go for the coverage and for the requirements. I go very, very quickly. On this picture, you see a long-wave transmitter, and to add that, what Matthias told us, when you go lower in the frequency, you can reach a better coverage. With 3 of these long-wave transmitters, 500 kilowatt long-wave transmitters, we can cover the whole Germany with a very, very good availability. For sure, you can cover also a country like Germany with 500 kilohertz transmitter and 500 kilowatt or 1,000 kilowatt or whatever. But the broadcasters have to have in mind that the availability of the signal has to be there at all the time, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And with three long-wave transmitters, we can cover the whole Germany, and the governmental broadcaster Deutschlandradio, they use these three long-wave transmitters in Germany to cover Germany, and vice versa, they operate more than 300 FM transmitters to get the same result. So even if a long-wave transmitter is a bit more expensive than an FM transmitter, it makes sense to invest that money. So as I said, 1 megawatt transmitters for everyone. Here in the next picture, you see that the 1 megawatt transmitter can be operated also with less power. In this case, I have a example for a 100 kilowatt transmitter. In the first design, you see it working in the analog mode. It's a 100 kilowatt average power, carrier power, and the peak power of this transmitter is around 400 kilowatt. So we use that peak power also in the DRM mode to get the coverage, and causing in the crest factor from the DRM signal, it is only needed to have around 40 kilowatt average power to get the same coverage as before. I skipped that values in the figures. This is a comparison between the robustness modes and field strengths. You find all these in my presentation and also in several other documents. Probably this is interesting for you. We made a comparison for a long wave station. Here we took the frequency 153 kilohertz, and the field strengths, the calculated field strengths for those transmissions in the AM mode is normally 60 dB microvolt per meter, and with the 1.2 megawatt transmitter you have a coverage diameter from around 900 kilometer, and with a medium modulation from 35% with a regular transmitter, it takes you 1.5 megawatt in the power consumption. And I show you here that with less power consumption, you can get more coverage in the DRM mode. And this is very efficient for the broadcaster. This is not only the quality, as Matthias said, this was very impressive. This slide is pretty good to see and to imagine that this shortwave and medium wave, what he presented over sometimes 3,000 kilometers, and the quality is like quite like FM. And here I present you also, you can save a lot of money in the energy. Here are some samples. You find all of this on your CD. This is one of the long-wave transmitters. This was, by the way, the first long-wave transmitter in the world operating in long-wave on DRM. It's actually working in Zehlendorf near Berlin. It's a 500-kilowatt analog transmitter with the capability of 240-kilowatt DRM. You see here the spectrum out of this transmitter and the 360-meter high mast. It's a very small band antenna. There is a picture of an 800 kilowatt. We are near to the 1 megawatt. And here I present you another feature from DRM, a single frequency network. To cover a city like Berlin, we installed three 500-watt digital transmitters around Berlin. The distance between all the three transmitters was around 30 kilometers, and we achieved approximately 60 to 65 dB microvolt in the whole area of the city. The advantage is you need only small transmitters, and the next advantage is with such a single frequency network, you always receive a minimum one signal. Even if you go through the city in the, behind the shadowing of buildings, when you drive by car through the city of Berlin and this transmitter network is in operation, you can always receive a minimum one of the transmitters. This is the coverage is pretty much better than another system what we also installed in Berlin with one transmitter with around 8 kilowatt DRM output power. The technical requirements, I make it short, this is a typical installation of a transmitter, of a modern solid-state nonlinear transmitter. You feed the amplitude and the phase-modulated RF inside the transmitter, and on the output you have the DRM signal. And this is the result you always get if you make something wrong or if you have a small bandwidth antenna. Then you violate the ITU spectrum mask and then you get a problem with your neighbors. To avoid that, I come to some parameters. One is the DC offset inside your exciter and transmitter network. One is the time delay between amplitude and phase. And the last but not least is the band limitation of the envelope pass. This is well known. These are the three main most important parameters. And with a modern exciter, DRM exciter, you can adjust all these parameters to your existing system. This is such an exciter ready for everything. Here you see the automatic equalizer. You can equalize these three parameters manually, but we have made one step more. We have three test points, and we can adjust all these three parameters automatically. It makes sense for shortwave transmissions. When you change your frequency, probably on an hourly basis, you have different conditions for your antenna and for your broadcasting systems. And so this exciter changes all the parameters, and you have always a nice output spectrum. One of the other technical requirements, more important than the transmitter itself, is the SWR from your antenna system. We need for DRM an antenna better than a dummy load. This is what I always say to the people when they ask, is this transmitter ready for DRM? The most modern solid-state transmitters on the market actually are ready for DRM, but the antennas are often very difficult, and so the requirements are an SWR from S1 to 105 at plus minus 5 kilohertz from the carrier, and 1 to 1.1 at plus minus 10 kilohertz from the carrier is necessary. And all the broadcasters with experience in that know that only a few antennas fulfill that requirements. So we can overcome that problem with a so-called extended network. We put that inside the antenna tuning unit, or with existing antennas and tuning units, we put it in an extra box. Sometimes it's our huge installations. But finally, you get then a right and proper signal without disturbing your neighbors. This is another station, 500 kilowatt long wave. And finally, I will tell you here that with long wave and medium wave, the coverage is better than in AM. The quality is like VHF FM. It's not the same dynamic what we have, but it's undisturbed. It's very clear. And finally, you save a lot of money in the energy. And I can say the same as Pablo said before and also Matthias. It's a field-proven technology. So DRM, we have your solution. And this is the same what we said also to the Mongolians to come to that part. In Mongolia, it's a bit bigger than Germany. And we operate three long-wave transmitters with 500 kilowatts. They operate seven transmitters, five in long-wave and two in medium-wave. And they cover with that seven transmitters the whole country. By the way, the population in Mongolia is the same as we have in Berlin, so we can cover the same population in Berlin with 3,500-watt transmitters. But as I said, megawatt transmitters for everyone. The Mongolians are very interested in those transmitters, and they have one 1.2-megawatt transmitter near Ulaanbaatar. This is a long-wave transmitter, a Russian-made long-wave transmitter. And they have several other long-wave transmitters, 200 and 300 kilowatt each. And the medium waves are smaller. It's 100 kilowatt Tesla transmitters. And they are very much interested in DRM. And for Mongolia, DRM-30 is the only solution to cover that large country. You cannot cover such a country with FM, with DAB, with DRM+, with other things. You had to invest a lot of money in a big network. Also, satellite is very costly for them, so they are interested in long wave. And also, what I was impressed about is I had a lot of discussions with the Mongolian authorities, and I told them, okay, the receivers could be a problem. They told me we already have problems with the receivers, as the most of the existing analog receivers on the market doesn't have long wave included anymore. The most receivers have only medium wave, and some of them have some short wave, 42 and 49 meter, and the rest is nothing. So they have a lot of VEF, it's an old Russian provider for short wave and medium wave, long wave receivers, but these receivers are meanwhile 30 years old, and they are broken, and they need new ones, and they have a problem with the receivers, by the way. And so the new UniWave and Himalaya receivers would be a solution for them, and also the power consumption I had in mind is not a problem for them. As they told me, the nomads with their animals, they go through the country. They have wind energy, they have solar energy. Mongolia is a very nice country. You have mostly very nice weather. In the winter it's very cold, but it's always clear blue sky, and except Ulaanbaatar, that's a different story. But all the countryside in Ulaanbaatar is not the problem. They have energy from electricity from the plug, and also they have VHF FM there. But outside the big cities, they have solar energy, they have wind energy, and the most of the nomads are not that poor as the most of the Western citizens think. They have mostly three cars, they have lots of horses and camels, and they are quite rich. So in the cars, they are interested in good radio receivers, and I'm quite sure that this Russian-made radio from Sarapulsky Zavod could be a solution for the Mongolians, as we showed them this radio during the conference where my colleague was in Ulaanbaatar, and they were quite impressed about that receiver. So for Mongolia, I'm quite sure that DRM-30 will appear quite soon. This is the solution for them, and by the way, I hope to sell them in minimum one megawatt transmitter. So, thank you.
Johan, thank you very much for an interesting presentation. I very much like the LF part of the whole thing because this is something which I had not seen before I went to Mongolia a couple of months ago. Any questions for him? Yes, please.
Thank you very much. I have a question about how realistic is this for Europe? I can't imagine three of those high tower situations surrounding Amsterdam transmitting LF. From an environmental perspective, but on the other hand, who's listening to long wave in Europe? That's also. Yesterday we had a discussion on the necessity to take into account consumers' demands. In this case, you need a lot of money to invest, and then, well, you also have to know who are your consumers listening to long wave transmission. So, actually, two questions within one question. How realistic is this for Europe? Thank you.
You want to respond?
Yeah, it's a difficult story, especially in the Netherlands. Some years ago, there was a plan to install a transmitter on 171 kilohertz. I think you know this story. It was an offshore installation. We invested a lot of time and energy in this installation, but finally, the broadcaster was not interested anymore. But now I heard some rumors that there is a new interest in that station again. And the resolution was to install such a transmitter out on the in the offshore so it doesn't disturb anyone except some seagulls or some fishes probably. To be honest, in our region, in Germany, long wave has a long tradition. We have these three transmitters, and they will survive for a long time, as this broadcaster has a lot of customers on long wave, and if the receivers appear, they will start DRM immediately, I'm quite sure. But for new installations on long wave, I don't see a market in our region, as we are happy with our FM, and also other systems like DAB have a very hard life in our region. And okay, we can discuss it privately. It takes too long to make it here clear. Okay.
I think this is a technology meant for large countries outside of Europe. China could benefit, India could benefit, Australia could benefit by it. The question of what the listeners want to listen to and how to cater for their requirement is a different question altogether. That is I think it's called the mother of all the questions. All broadcasting will start only when the listener and viewer want it. So that's a question that has to be resolved by the consortium, of course. They have to help people to look at the content, and I'm sure this is going to be done now. And, of course, by the broadcasters themselves.
Excuse me, probably one addition. The new broadcast is always driven by the content. And the new radio receivers will choose the program by the content. So this is the reason for the AMSS system. We can provide you some additional information in AM. So finally, your receiver can change between DAB, FM, DRM, or AM, and imagine you can take your car, you can start in Amsterdam, you can end up in Moscow, and you can receive always the same station. This is probably possible with that.
Thank you. Well, the typical situation with 171, in those days I was head of the planning department, so I know something about it. The service was not for the Netherlands. The service was meant for London. So that was very typical. Thank you.
Yeah, one last question, please. Yeah.
When we use DRM on the medium waves, like you do in the Berlin experiment, is there not a problem with the service when it gets dark and you get a lot of skywave interference? I mean, during the day, I can imagine that works fine, but what in the evening and in the night?
It's a question of the proper planning. In Berlin, this transmitter is planned for Berlin on 855 kilohertz, and this is working during the day and during the nighttime as well very good, as there is no interference. For sure, this is a problem. On 531, we had a trial in Germany. We had a very good daytime coverage, but during the nighttime we had problems with this Switzerland transmitter, but now it's switched off, so we don't have problems anymore.
No, but it's a general problem. Is you can't change the physics. I mean, at night, if there are other transmitters on same or adjacent channel, they produce skywave interference, and it comes from very far. And this
Hello,
you can study
just
this
a moment,
or not.
Just a moment. It is not a problem peculiar to DRM.
Yeah.
It is a problem of the band. So whether you use a DRM or you use DRS or you use any other system, It is, if the planning is not proper, it is going to happen.
It's peculiar to DRM that you could use SFH to combat the problem. This is what they do in the Devon trial. This is why I told you about that one.
So thank you very much, and we have come to the close of the session. Just to wind it up, I think we had a comprehensive set of presentations on trials, coverage, quality assessment. We had the transmitter end, the technologies, the transmitter equipment and area coverage, power consumption and field strength, and we also had a presentation on the ITU activities on DRM Plus and 26 megahertz. Let's give all the speakers another hand, and I wish you a very good evening.
Let's reassure you, there is no content session coming, so no long presentations or anything like that. First of all, I will thank Sharad for taking the previous session, and I will try to sort of close this day, very intense day, and come back to an issue that has cropped up all throughout the day, and it is absolutely essential. Content. We can have the best technology in the world. What are we doing with the content? So if I was to say a few things, I will say the very obvious. DRM is not just the technology. We can talk about technology, how we apply, how it works, where we push the boundaries. But ultimately, it is about maximizing content choice and also business opportunities. DRM needs to use all the features and to give a full audio experience with the extra information. People are used from other things, from their mobiles, from their MP3s, to get a much richer experience than they were a year ago. And DRM can do that. It's flexible enough, but we haven't exploited it enough. And DRM cannot be, in content terms, just a copy of what you do in analog. Try to do that and you are dead. Who's going to buy a receiver if it is just the same as the analog content? Nobody. Why should they? We heard here, FM receivers, very good, very cheap. Why should you invest? DRM is about extra content that differentiates it from analog. Something special that you absolutely want. If you are in Nigeria, you want to get the matches and everything about the Premier League. If you are in India, it's about cricket. If you are in Europe, maybe you are very sophisticated, you have very special interests and hobbies, and you want them addressed. And with that in mind, to end, at least from my side, I would like to launch an invitation to ABU and EBU and any of you who is interested and can help. There are lots of broadcasters, there are manufacturers here, to join us in the consortium and us in the BBC to try and prove very practically through a small group what these features would look like. What is it? What could we really offer? And we will put this to all of you participants, and if you want to be part of this group and work and have a little presentation that shows what is possible to do with digital technology, I would suggest that we try to do it for May, and we have that available. Please join us. You have the know-how, you have the connections. Please join us to maximize content, excite broadcasters, show commercial stations what can be done. Because otherwise, we will have a lot of very interesting technical presentations, but the technology is not everything. I hope that makes sense to you, and I hope you will respond to our emails. I don't know if there is any question or any reaction at this point to this. I hope I haven't stunned you or scared you or come up with something that is totally crazy. But you saw from the Thompson presentation there is video, and Matthias said, but what are the broadcasters? Are we using clips to make this possible? How does it work with audio? I mean, let's think a bit differently about DRM. It's enabling audio and other features. It's not just the kitchen radio. Nobody? Mike. Thank you, Mike.
I'm actually going to counter that because there is a big demand for the kitchen radio. There's also an enormous demand for a car radio. Now, I've looked at the way that I use the radio myself, and so I will sort of have a clock radio that wakes me up in bed in the morning, and as I walk around the house, I turn a radio on in every room. Which is my main time for listening to the radio, is breakfast time. Now, two things about that. One, it's a portable medium because, okay, I don't carry a receiver around with me, but I just turn one and in every room, so it follows me around the house. But the other thing, at that time of day when I'm actually using the radio as opposed to using the television, is something I'm doing as a background activity. it isn't demanding most of my time. In fact, most of what I'm doing is concentrating on something else. And that seems to me to be the niche where radio as a medium sits. If you start trying to make radio into television, then you've got television. You're not exploiting the benefits of radio, because if I want to watch television, I will sit and watch television and I'll get high quality pictures. But it argues that I'm not doing anything else. It totally absorbs me. And it seems to me the big selling point for radio is that it isn't television. It is something. And the car driver always comes up. He's not the only user of radio, but he typifies the use of radio because he's on the move, and primarily he is doing something else. And so things like video and a lot of these added value services that you might be able to put in there are actually not of a great deal of use to him. What might be of great deal of use to a car driver as a value-added service is something where you can just shout at the receiver and say, you know, retune to such and such a station. You know, that would be something that is of great value to a radio user. But most of these value-added services I see on the radio seem to be things that are pulling it away from its primary function, which is a sort of something that you're doing as a background. But I just throw that in as a counter to you, as perhaps to stimulate debate, if nothing else.
Well, when I said let's exploit whatever is there, I mean, not for one second did I think that this will replace what DRM is about, which is quality audio. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, we are not saying let's all watch little 8 frames in 20 something and not listen to radio. You are absolutely right. And one of the figures given is that while the demise of radio has been heralded since the 50s, the radio is still very strong. So this is why people want a digital version. This is why we are thinking about DRM. But what I'm also saying is let's show what the possibility is. It is better sound, but it is also about choice. And it is about this extra traffic information, or there is something that can enhance the experience. So I don't think we disagree. I mean, I think we agree. Maybe my emphasis was too strong and I sent the wrong message that I don't believe in radio anymore and let's forget about radio. God forbid. Okay.
Thank you. And just an observation of a regulator. Maybe you are not quite happy with it, but just to tickle the discussion, excuse me. The whole DRM, is a very good initiative. It adds something to what is already available. The only thing you may try to avoid is to do it by yourself. Radio via long wave, medium wave, short wave is over the last almost 100 years seen as something which is purely dedicated to a certain band, to certain receivers. I think that the audience you are trying to comfort with this nice digital content is much wider interested in radio or audio, whatever you like to call it, than only via medium wave or short wave. It's young people especially, but also the truck driver driving from the north of Norway to the south of South Africa, maybe. He is interested in information, and he will have access to that information via a kind of multitasking device. So the moment this initiative is looking for or searching a cooperation with other content providers from the device perspective, you have a combination which makes DRM much stronger on short wave, long wave, and medium wave than having a purely solid receiver only receiving those three types of emissions. And so I think that to face the future, you also have to face the reality that cooperation with other content providers will strengthen your position and even will add something to an already existing market.
Thank you very much. I think that's most valuable observation. Thank you very much, especially coming from a regulator. And I hope that is what I was trying to express. But you looked at content providers of particular information. It doesn't all have to be what we understand by radio. And I understand that very, very well. And it's a very valuable suggestion you've made. Thank you very much. Let's take it in turn.
Well, with my RDS and FM radio experience, I must say I'm convinced that the future is digital radio, and we definitely get to digital radio. And from all the options that I have seen so far, I think for me this is one of the most attractive ones. I'm very, very personally very much impressed by this. Now, the experience in the RDS forum was that the success was built on the car radio.
Yeah, I understand.
And, but I must say that the situation has completely changed now. I think the aftermarket for car radio is almost dead. There is no money to be earned anymore. The car radio is part of the dashboard. You cannot exchange your radio any longer. So if you want to succeed in the car radio business, you have to cooperate with the car makers. And the problem for the car makers is that they would certainly go along with you if you can offer them a European market. I mean, there must be services available everywhere. If they are only in one country, European market, in my experience, consists of three countries, UK, France, Germany. If the three agree to use the system widely, then I think the others are also going in the same direction.
Thank you.
Okay.
And one other point, please, was made here, or this has totally stunned you.
Okay. Target group that cannot be reached in any other way, and you have content that fits that target group, I think it's an easier sell to the politicians or whoever's going to give the money or get the pressure to do it than anything else. I know this is very different from country to country, but I think you have to take, you cannot have a product that's the world's best and not know who you're going to sell it to. You know, that's shooting with what's called a Spreiderhaube in Danish. It's a, you know, shooting with a shotgun in all directions at the same time. You may hit a lot of people, but you don't kill anybody.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I won't go back into the community and interest radio, and this is what the DRM can address, and there is a social need, and I think some politicians in European countries are becoming sensitive to that. But I'm also very sensitive to the time, and some of you are fretting and are probably thinking of your planes and going home, and I've been sitting here since 9:30. So I'm very glad that in the end, I think everyone who wanted to say or question or discuss had the opportunity. I hope you found the day interesting. We didn't come here with all the answers, and I know some of you will think there are so many questions and we'll take the questions away. But I think we've managed to prove to you that the DRM standard, DRM 30 and DRM Plus, is a reality, is topical, can offer benefits. It is compatible with other systems. We have shown you that we are thinking in all directions. We are pushing the envelope, even in some ways. We are active. We have a multinational team of experts, and I want to thank them all for fantastic presentations and also for the questions that they elicited. I think that for many of you, I hope this is a beginning. The broadcaster user manual will come. Please let us know if you want it. We have a lot of information for you to give. We can give you all that. We are going to be present at other events and take all this forward. We are advancing now pretty fast. We are aware that this is a crucial time. You can't forever wait for this standard to take off. And last but not least, I would like to thank EBU for facilitating this, organizing this, thinking of it, worrying about it, and having you, persuading you to come here. I would like to offer all the participants, speakers and organizers, and last but not least, our wonderful project director staff, Annie and Vinita, a very, very warm sign of appreciation. Thank you very much, Walid, Filka, Fanny, Vinita, all of you. And DRM just starts here. Don't forget about us. We won't forget about you. You might get our newsletter very soon. And as I say, we are serious about it. We might joke from time to time, but we are serious. And we are putting a lot of work, and a lot of these people have other jobs to do. So it's really more than a hobby or an interest. It's really people who, with foresight, looking at the future of digital radio. Thank you very much.
I would like just to mention that you have all received by now an email from Filka with a link to a website where we would like you to respond to an evaluation survey. So you have questions and you can click. So it doesn't take much time. And you have places after each question to add comments, if you like, ideas, critics, whatever you like. So I was trying just to show it to you. Yes. So this is the email that you have received, right? And you click on the link. So you end up with this page, and then you can click on. The button that you like, and you add comments if you like here. So we would appreciate very much to have your response on this survey. Thank you very much for being here, and hope to see you in another occasion on this subject or other subjects.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome.